Namaste and Hari Om. This is your host, Kishore Trivedi, welcoming you to today's episode of Know Your Dharma Radio Naira program. As you know, this radio program is part of Know Your Dharma initiative of the Hindu Society of North Carolina. And the past recordings of these audio clips can be found on the KYD tab of hsnctemple.org website. So today I'm very happy to introduce our guest, Deepa Rajamani. The topic today is very interesting. It's the journey that starts for most of us with the fear of God and culminates in faith in God. So Deepa, will you please introduce yourself briefly to our listeners? I understand that you were born and raised in India and came to US for your graduate studies. Deepa.
Namaste and Hari Om. Thank you, Kishore, for having me on this show. Yes. My name is Deepa, and I live with my husband, Shamal, my son, Shivraj, in Cary, North Carolina. And like you mentioned, I was raised in India. And, I was born into an Orthodox, yet liberal Hindu, South Indian, and to be more specific, Tamilian family. And growing up, I realized that and learned that rituals were an important part of pleasing God, and they needed to be done perfectly. Otherwise, when I would finally encounter God at the end of life, it was not going to be a pleasant experience, and it would be a terrifying one, something to that effect. But through all of this, I was, definitely given a lot of scientific reasoning for certain practices by the respected elders in my family. But eventually, deep within, it did not make sense to me that God would require specific delicacies or a particular attire and levels of hygiene only a few days in a year, during festivals, and at a specific duration, at a specific time. And also this question arose, like, why was I among the privileged few human beings to have access to this only real path to all the various devis and devtas, right? But I certainly did use all of these prayers and ritual techniques to my advantage when I desperately needed them. For instance, I would make 108 rounds of my favorite Bhagwan Sri Ganesha shrine when my exam results were due. And most of the time, my results were miraculous. So I did believe and was convinced that it was God's intervention that got me the 80% in my 10th grade. Right. And always. God was keeping score on the number of rounds, or else he would be really upset that I didn't deliver on this promise. And through all of the above practices that I mentioned, I did notice that I felt a sense of bliss while performing the rituals in front of the shrines or during my prayers at home. Especially the temples offered such a pleasant ambiance with their glorious architecture. Walking barefoot on the stone or marble floors to the sound of the mantras and the view of the sky and the trees and the flowers while I made those 108 rounds, it formed a magical bond between me and nature. And I observed that there were people from all walks of life at the temple. So you would see the rich, the poor, the healthy, the sick, the bold, the shy, the old, the young, all kinds and flavors of human beings. And we were all here to bow down in front of this superpower and would always be so eager and focused for the few minutes of the one-on-one meetings with God. And what touched my heart further was the rigor and the discipline exemplified by the priests towards their temple duties. You know, they are so learned and they're just there to be able to offer God's blessings to us while earning a meager income. All of these sites lifted me up and also grounded me to what really matters and made me be true to my inner self. After all, God knew everything. And so how could I lie in his or her presence? Along with this, my parents, though Orthodox, they were really liberal and accommodative of my leniency with some of these rituals and religious practices. So I always felt obligated to reciprocate and show my love and respect for their beliefs by attempting to follow the rituals specified. So my connection with God was mostly out of fear.
That's a beautiful description of the childhood. This is probably typical of kids raised in a Hindu faith, that they follow the rites and rituals and go to temples due to tradition, respect to the elders, and the implicit and sometimes explicit fear of the consequences if they don't follow the traditions. It is hoped that as they mature, they will learn the fundamentals of Sanatan Dharma as enshrined in Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, and Yoga Sutra. Deepa, will you please recite one of your favorite prayers from your childhood?
Absolutely. This is still one of my favorite prayers. It's the mantra, Om Gam Ganapataye Namo Namaha. And the translation is, bowing all the way down to the Almighty Ganapati with all our existence and accepting all his nice qualities in our self-being.
Beautiful. Deepa, you then came to US for your graduate studies. Tell us about your journey to US and corresponding evolution in Dharma.
Absolutely. So about 20 years ago in 2002, I embarked on this new chapter in my life. I departed from my home in India, far away from my family and good friends, to pursue my master's in USA. I was nervous and really vulnerable to make this journey, but I knew that this was my path and I had to do my best to keep going. Because after all, I was going to land in this land of opportunities where my dreams were guaranteed to come true, right? So as soon as I landed in the US, I experienced so much of love and warmth from so many souls. I just had to ask for help and people would take time out of their busy lives to drive me, pick me up from the airport, drive me around for groceries, host me for a couple of days, and so many more things. For instance, like my roommates would make me a warm cup of tea first thing in the morning, and my friends would be so enthusiastic to prepare meals for me. But very soon, the focus shifted to academics. And that's when I met a friend, Shamal, who's now my husband. As I faced life's real challenges as a student, you know, in this new country, finding myself, lack of money, and difficult and just new methods to get good grades and so on, I always found a path to resolution following my friend's advice. One unique characteristic of Shamal that attracted me was his bragging. You heard me right. He was always proud of his strengths and life's gifts and was not afraid to flaunt them or demonstrate them when challenged. So here's an instance of like one powerful true life story that I never get tired of hearing him narrate, which goes like this. One of the best gynecologists in Mumbai had assessed and declared it was impossible for my mother-in-law to conceive. My father-in-law then prayed to Bhagwan Sri Krishna and recited specific mantras to grant them a child. My mother-in-law, among other deities, she prayed to Sri Ganesha, you know, who's the remover of obstacles, and also Mother Mary and infant Jesus. And due to their undeterred faith and belief, in their own unique ways, Shyamal was born after 10 years of his parents' marriage. So Shyamal was truly special because he was a miracle baby and evidence that God specifically had heard his parents' prayers and delivered his or her blessings. So how amazing is this? So I experimented with this faith in God, and then it opened doors to my learning that all of life force are actually forms of energy and do follow certain laws.
It's indeed great to see such a happy couple, you and Shyamal. And of course, the power of prayers is immense. I also want to compliment you or your situation that people were very happy to help you when you came to US. This may not always be the case. I've heard people being very depressed and so on. So I think as a community, we need to support these individual graduate students who come from India, and they need our moral and dharmic support. So I wish that more and more of us come forward and help our young kids coming from there. So please tell us about your own pregnancy. You told us about your mother-in-law's pregnancy, now your own pregnancy.
Absolutely. So there's another lesson here for me to learn, right? So through, Shyamal's story, I was, always in awe of those lessons learned. And I feel truly special and honored to be married into this family, right? But we experienced a similar miracle with my own son's birth. A highly competent and well-decorated prenatal specialist from Denver had looked me in the eye when I was like 7 months pregnant and said, "Give up all your false hope and accept that your newborn would have to live a compromised life due to a specific health condition." It was devastating at the time. And, we try to gather strength. And as soon as my mother-in-law heard about this, she prayed religiously for 2 months until I delivered my son. At the time, we were just counting our blessings to welcome our son into this world, no matter his health condition. Just his birth was so magical, and to be in presence of this life form and to be given the privilege of his upbringing was so special. We prayed and we gathered strength for his first medical examination. And we couldn't believe our ears when the doctors declared him to be perfectly healthy. Mm-hmm. So there was no evidence of the health condition that was detected and diagnosed during my pregnancy by this specialist using hardcore facts such as, repeated ultrasound imaging and just his wealth of experience in the field. So at that time, I was convinced that my mother-in-law's faith and prayers had actually enabled this turn of events. The divine had not just sent my parents-in-law my way to give me like theoretical explanations of the power of faith, but also provide me with like practical examples with my own son's birth to reinforce the power of faith in God, all and unfolding, right in front of my eyes.
Oh, wonderful. That's a wonderful story. Once again, the divine works in mysterious ways, and prayer seems to always help. In this radio program, we have had an episode on the power of prayers with Sri Ramaswamy Ji. So other people are welcome to look at the audio clip from the past program. But before we go on to the next set of questions in this dialogue, let's take a small break and we will be right back. So don't go away. We will come back after this.